on our way to getting off the grid up next with the Handy Guys.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
So, Brian, we're not really talking about completely getting off the grid. We are not talking about moving to Montana, Idaho, and homesteading and, you know, raising goats or anything like that.
No, but, you know, there's something to be said for that. And I have a lot of respect for those folks that can get completely off the grid.
No, what we're talking about is trying to save monthly expenses, partially sort of cutting some of those services that used to be assumed. We've determined that you just don't need everything that you used to need. And not only that, but you can still get a lot of the same services for less money, and people aren't always taking advantage of that. We're talking about home entertainment, TV, we're talking about telephone. And you might ask, what does this have to do with handy guys?
I don't know. What does it have to do with handy guys?
Well,
what?
Because we're both handy guys, and you have to be handy to deal with some of these issues.
You do.
You have to be a little bit technologically savvy. And sometimes it's the handy guy's responsibility to make sure that you have phone, make sure your TV's working. So It does partially fall into the realm of handy guys. So we're going to deal with this subject. But first, let's give out our handy guy contact information.
All right. Just go to our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com. Click on the Contact Us tab, and all the information you need is right there. You can fill out the contact form or just email us at handyguyspodcast.com, or ask us a question if you want on Twitter. We are at handyguys on Twitter, or on Facebook. We are facebook.com/thehandyguys, and we get back to everybody. If we can, we answer your question, and so go ahead and send us an email.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the handy guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
So, Brian, let's talk about ways you can save money. As a handy guy, you're responsible, for instance, for making sure your phone works. And in fact, around here, you're essentially responsible for the phone connection in the house. If you have a problem and you're using a traditional analog phone line, the phone company will only work on the line to the perimeter of your house where you have a box, usually a network box on the outside of your house.
The demarcation box.
Yeah, the demarcation. They'll make sure the line works until that box. If they need to go beyond that, they charge you, you know, $45 an hour or something like that to even look at it. And generally, they're not even that helpful or interested in coming in your house unless you really ask them.
Right. So it used to be you'd have contracts and plans with the phone company to cover inside wiring and things like that.
Right.
But it's pretty much now falls on the do-it-yourselfer to make sure you've got the home wiring.
Now, it used to be also that a typical home phone bill would cost $60 to $100. For basic local service, you're looking 45, whatever, with long distance. You know, I typically had a traditional analog phone bill of, say, $60.
Yeah, I used to have a phone bill, you know, it was like $29 a month, unlimited this and that and everything. But then there was taxes and fees, and then that was an introductory rate with that phone company. And last I looked, before making the changes we're going to talk about, I was up to just shy of $80 a month for a home phone that I barely used.
Right. More and more people are moving to cells. In fact, the younger crowd is not even using landlines. They're just using their cell phone. And that makes sense.
And that's one way you can get out of, you know, having a home phone. People cut the cord, so to speak, and have just cell phones. But what if you want to keep that phone number that you've had for, you know, 30 years?
Yeah, you might want to keep the line. You might want to just have the convenience of having your little wireless phones all throughout the house. Perhaps you want the babysitter to be able to use your home phone while you're out, and they can call you if they need to. It's just a matter of convenience. For emergencies, you have the more phones, that sort of thing.
And you've got, you know, 911 and things like that.
Right.
Cells don't often work real well for that.
So let's look at some alternatives to the traditional analog phone line. And I've actually been off of the analog phone line now for several years, at least two and a half or three years.
Right. And I've been off for about 4 months.
Okay. And the first thing I did, Brian, was probably, in my opinion, one of the best deals ever. I still don't see a deal as good as this one, although it's been discontinued. But the deal we had was with one of the cellular carriers, T-Mobile, when they were offering home VoIP, voice over internet, for $10 a month, unlimited, I believe it was, if you already had a T-Mobile cell phone. So you had a cell phone plan. You basically said, "I want your router," and I think you had to pay for the router. So it was like $45-$50 for the router.
Right.
You bring it home, and they essentially add another $10 plus taxes. It ended up being closer to $15 when all said was done to your cell bill, and you got home internet calling for free. Not for free, but for whatever, $15 unlimited. Yeah, and I was a great deal. So we just tacked it on, no problem. I went for about a year and a half doing that. And then my wife wanted to move carriers because she wasn't fully satisfied with T-Mobile and wanted to get a phone that was on another carrier. So I ultimately had to get out of that deal, and I was able to port my phone number from that to the VoIP with T-Mobile to a new carrier, which was another voice over IP carrier.
Paul, let's pause here for a second.
Okay.
What is voice over IP for our listeners?
Yeah, it's very simple. It's basically sending the voice connection over your internet connection. So most people these days, I think, have broadband connections. So they have cable internet, or they have internet through Verizon's Fios, or they have DSL, or something that is equivalent. And it's robust enough that you can easily send voice packets over that connection without using a traditional analog, old-fashioned phone line.
Right, and there's companies that have been doing this for a while. And
yeah, it's not a new technology.
Right, but we're not talking about here, we're not talking about Skype, we're not talking about necessarily even Vonage or some of these other voice over IPs, or even...
Well, Vonage would be similar.
It would be kind of similar. I know the local cable company here has a digital voice service, they call it.
Yes.
And even Verizon with their Fios has a digital voice service, they call it, which essentially is a voice over IP.
Right.
In other words, what we're saying is that now that these pipes to the internet are becoming larger and larger, more and more of your services can move to those pipes and off of traditional dedicated.
And you don't really need much what's called bandwidth, which is the size of your internet connection, the pipe. You don't really need much for voice packets. In fact, it's very small. You could do it over the old dial-up modems in the old days. The problem is
we don't need to get into the technical aspects.
You actually could, no problem. The problem is when you're sharing the data with downloads and other things, you need to make sure that it's big enough that it doesn't step, that other traffic doesn't step on your voice, and it needs to be a reliable connection.
So what are you using now for voice over IP, and how much does it cost
a month? So I'm still paying about $15 a month now with a little bit extra in taxes. I'm using a company called ViaTalk, and it is a competitor with Vonage, another company you also mentioned. It essentially competes with all of the other providers, whether it be Verizon's voice over IP or Comcast. And let me explain why I chose this company. A, I don't use my home phone very often, so I wanted about the cheapest option I could find.
$15 a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
$15 a month. And now that's not for unlimited. It's for – oh, actually, it is now unlimited in U.S. Canada. Now, at the time, I think it was 300 minutes or something a month, which was more than what we used our home phone for. So they had an unlimited plan that was a little bit more. It was $18 or something. But anyway, I went with the cheapest plan. And they offer, things like voicemail online. I can get the voicemail sent to my email account, kind of thing.
Right.
But the reason I chose this is because what I find is a lot of people, they're moving to voice over IP, but they're getting the plan with, say, their cable carrier. They're often the triple play or something like that.
Right.
And they offer these deals where you get the first 6 months for $9.99 or whatever it is, $15.99. But then after that, it goes up to $30 a month or something like that.
Right.
Double what I'm paying.
Sure.
And I'm locked in indefinitely, or at least for a year, I think. I think it's indefinite. So I actually don't find – I see all the big carriers are advertising all the save money, but if you look at them after the introductory offer, they're still selling this service for a lot. And here I am with a home phone that I barely use. I don't want to pay much for it. I know I could bring up Skype, pay very little for that, which is the software.
But the advantage of these voice over IP things is you're using your regular phones.
Absolutely.
That you've got, you know, the one hanging on the wall in the kitchen or whatever.
Exactly.
And
so I've actually disconnected my copper connection to the outside world, and I've connected my phone line down in the basement to one of these routers that handles the voice over IP. It's actually sent from ViaTalk. It's a little router about the size of a pack of matches or something, or a pack of cards, I should say. And you just plug your phone line into it, and now all of my phones throughout the house have dial tone.
Did they give you that little router?
Yep.
It was included in the 15.
Yeah, I can't remember. There may have been an upfront fee, but it wasn't that much money. So there probably is. It's a sign-up fee.
Let me tell you the one I did.
Okay.
So I did a voice over IP thing as well. There's a little router that essentially takes my home phone, you know, copper wiring inside the house and hooks it up to the internet, right? And the company I went with was called UMA, O-O-O-M-A, O-O-M-A, UMA.
UMA.
So it's it was like $200 to buy this thing.
Yeah, so you had an upfront cost.
An upfront cost, but free, unlimited calling anywhere, no monthly fee, no monthly access fee. The only thing you have to do is, you still, believe it or not, have to pay some of these taxes that the government imposes. So there's some money that goes to 911 service and to different things like that. But my monthly bill is $3.72 a month.
Neat.
So,
by the way, my Linksys router, the router that came with my service, was free. I just had to pay a activation fee or something like $30. So I'm paying a monthly rate of $15. You're paying nothing, but you had a bigger upfront cost.
Right.
So you just have to pay the taxes.
And it was super simple to install.
Yeah.
So I love going from $70-something a month to $3.72 a month for the phone bill. Really frees things off.
So
freeze things up.
Yeah, exactly. So, and they tell you how to hook it up. You just need to be able to get this thing. And you can, many of these carriers, you got to check with them first. They're not all the same. But some of them, you can port your current phone number to them.
That was a key thing for me
with the
UMA. I wanted to keep that home phone number that I've had for many, many years. So I wanted to continue with that. I wanted 911 service.
Right.
And, you know, all that kind of stuff that you would get with a normal phone company. And now I have added features like check your voicemail online, get email notifications when you get, a message left and things like that.
And how's the performance?
Never had a problem.
Right. And we don't
it
either.
It just works.
The only time I had a problem because I had this another router I was testing hooked up to the network. And I won't go into the technical details, but let's just say it was interfering with the entire network.
Right.
Most people wouldn't do that.
Yeah, we had a weird little problem a month ago. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it involved just turning it off and back on, and it started working right again.
So the traditional phone lines are going away. The old copper, that's just becoming history. All the major of your cell phones, we're paying for voice. Now, you still have your cell phones. We're paying more for that than, you know, our parents' generation did. Obviously,
our parents didn't have them, right.
But there are other ways to save. And up next, I want to talk about how you can save on your TV entertainment.
Yes.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, so most people these days have the 150 channels on their cable, or they have their Dish network or whatever, and they pay additional money because they've been told the only way they can get HD, high def, is to pay extra for the high def channels on whatever their carrier is, right? And they're paying an arm and a leg. I know some people that pay easily $200 a month for their entertainment packages, at least.
Yep.
And I don't like spending $200 a month because, quite frankly, I don't have time to watch that much TV. And but when I do want to sit down and relax and watch something, I want to have a decent selection of something I can get.
And right. And the thing with all of this, these technologies is – like the phone that we just talked about, this is all moving online.
Exactly.
It's all coming to internet based. So, you know, we have that big fat pipe coming into the house for data, and we're going to be using it for more and more entertainment purposes, which is going to significantly impact, you know, your satellite dish companies, your cable companies, and even companies like Verizon that offer high-speed internet are also in the television business, but that's all going to also move to the internet, so to speak.
So let's talk about a couple things. One is that if you want to get high-def programming, it's not true that the only way to get it is through paying huge fees through your various satellite or cable providers. There are other ways to get good high-def signals. In fact, you can get your best high-def signals right over the air with an old-fashioned antenna.
Right.
With only, obviously, broadcast networks. You can't get your ESPNs and your learning channels, but you can get all of your broadcast networks if you're close enough to major cities where there's towers. And you can get them both unencrypted, obviously, but also uncompressed.
Right. So you get your best possible picture quality for your ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox,
and PBS.
And PBS and some other ones, perhaps.
Yeah, because what happens is over the cable systems, over the satellite, is they often have to compress the signals in order to get all of those channels, your 300 channels or whatever you have, to fit in the bandwidth that they have for delivery system they have. Yeah. And they compress some channels more than others, and they do it at different times more than others, depending on what they want to do. But ultimately, you're not getting the best signal you can get on your TV.
So that rooftop antenna will deliver the best high-definition picture quality possible.
Right.
You'll get what the station is pushing out.
Or perhaps an attic antenna if you don't want to have the...
Right. But, Paul, I want my DVR, though.
Right. So there are some people that...
What's a DVR?
Yeah, what's a DVR? So you have your digital video recorder. A lot of people now are watching TV on demand. So they record everything. They say, I want to record a particular kind of show whenever it airs. Done. Unlike the old VCR days, you don't have to tell it exactly what time. You just say, I want it to record Parenthood whenever it comes on.
What's that?
I don't know, some TV show. So then my wife watches. But, you know, you wanted it to record, and it just does it. And then when you want to watch it, you can watch it. You can start it even when the show is running, airing live. You can wait 15 minutes into the show. You can start watching it. You can skip commercials, et cetera.
Right. So we've had that on our satellite box. Verizon has that on their Fios TV, and some cable companies started offering that a couple years ago.
Right. And so you can actually...
And TiVo, of course.
Yeah, TiVo is the big name in it. But you can also build your own box with a product called Myth TV, which is a little geeky, but...
It's very geeky. I've just, I did an evaluation of it over the summer, set it aside, didn't do anything with it. But, Paul, I've discontinued satellite TV, and I'm going purely Myth TV DVR and
over the air or whatever you can get.
I actually use
Myth TV. I've been using it for about 3 years, and I use it with my just basic cable. I only have a simple analog cable, no converter box or anything. I can pull in all the broadcast channels. They still send them over unencrypted, so I can pull them in HD without any antenna. And I need my cable anyway because I use it for internet. And so I use that. So I have a free digital recorder. Well, not free because I needed some hardware, which I've used some old PCs I have available to me. And I pay the minimum rate. I literally pay, I think, $15 for cable plus taxes, $20. Now with the data plan, ends up my cable bill's around $60, I think, something like that, $60-some dollars. So
I'm in a similar boat. You know, I don't have a cable bill. I have a Verizon Fios internet bill that's about $50 a month. And then I have my Myth TV DVR that I'm sending my TV channels into. And so there's no monthly charge there for the TV if I'm using over the air. And it so far is working great, but we got to reiterate. I know we just said this, but it is very geeky.
So. Yeah. It's a geeky solution, so it may not be a best fit for everyone, but...
It's complicated to set up. You've got to, have the right hardware, but you've also got to have some computing technical understanding and ability to learn.
But there's some other solutions that are coming out, some that are already available, that will get you not only some television shows in a simple manner, but movies as well. Let's talk about that after this.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, so Brian, there's also other boxes that are coming out that are trying to make this whole getting TV over the internet easier.
Yeah.
And we have the Myth TV, and that works pretty well. But there's other boxes.
That's not pulling information across the internet, per
right.
se.
It's just recording what you already get through a receiver. But there is ways to bring over content through the internet when you want it.
Including Handy Guys content.
Yeah, Handy Guys podcasts, but specifically movies. What if you want to watch a movie? You no longer have to go down to the Blockbuster. You can pull it down.
Since I've cut the cord on my satellite dish or on cable TV.
You have no on-demand.
I have no on-demand.
All right, so this is what I want to talk about. There's Apple TV has a box called Apple TV, obviously. Apple has a box.
Right.
But Roku is another one, ROKU.com. There's also the Google TV that's been announced and is coming out.
It's coming out.
And there's some others. But I want to talk about the Roku because I've studied all of the new options, the Google TV, I studied Apple TV, and I still find the Roku is both the easiest and has the, it compares to Google TV as far as features, but it has some of the most features. And we both have a Roku box.
Yes.
You can, as long as you have an internet connection, a good internet connection, you can connect this thing to your TV, get very high definition, not necessarily the highest of the high, but very good image quality.
Well, the latest version of the Roku box supports 1080p, which is...
Ultimately, it's not quite... They're not delivering 1080p
right.
yet, so, but it's going to support it.
But the box hardware supports it, as long as the content providers are pushing it to the device.
So if you have a Roku box, the biggest content provider on it is Netflix. You can get for $9.99, I think it is, don't quote me, the cheapest Netflix plan, and it gives you unlimited streaming of movies.
Yeah.
They also have television shows now, not all the latest, greatest, but like last year's, all the episodes of Lost, that sort of thing.
Right. So you might be a year off on some of the, you know, if you watch MythBusters, instead of tuning into the Learning Channel that you're spending $80 a month with your satellite provider.
Exactly.
Now you can watch MythBusters on the Roku box for your $8 a month, and you can, and away you go.
It just works. It's very easy. The other cool thing is they're going to be coming out with Hulu Plus for it, which means, unfortunately, it's another subscription. It's $10 a month, but you can then watch most, if not all, of the latest episodes that are on NBC, Fox, or ABC. So the only one that's not on that is CBS of the major networks.
Now, Paul, let me ask you.
But what they have their own streaming.
And maybe you're not ready to talk about this, and that's fine. What's the difference between Hulu Plus and Hulu?
There's very little difference. You can go out in some networks and see. But basically, the Hulu Plus has some more television shows. But ultimately, it has the same shows. It just has more episodes. So, for instance, they may only have the most recent two or three episodes of whatever your favorite show is on the regular Hulu, which is free, but on Hulu Plus, they'll have the whole season at all times.
Gotcha. So on regular Hulu, it's only like the most recent three or so
episodes. Something like that.
Because there's an add-in for Myth TV called Hulu.
Right.
Or it's the Hulu application. So you can actually add it into your Myth TV
it allows you
user
to run,
interface.
Yeah.
And you click on that and then it launches Hulu. And
yeah,
you're getting all that content.
Exactly. So anyone can run Hulu desktop on their PC. But most people don't want to watch TV looking at a PC unless you're a college student sitting in your dorm room or something like that.
Right. That's why this geeky solution of Myth TV, and we've built home theater essentially PCs, HTPCs.
But the other thing is people should be aware of is most flat screen televisions, if you have a laptop, a lot of them, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of them have VGA inputs, which is you can get a simple video cable to hook up your laptop right to the TV, and you plug it in and you bring up your Hulu or you bring up your Netflix and you hit play and you hit the little icon for full screen and you can watch a movie on your TV. That's how I did it for a year before I actually put in my Roku box.
Yep. Yeah, I never got into doing that, but I got the Roku box and I was just like, wow,
it's like nothing to it either. You're like buying
right.
like a
buy this little piece of plastic and it's got a wire for your your internet and a wire for your TV, and then it plugs into the wall for power, and that's it. You turn it on, and away you go.
And so I've used now Netflix and also the other content on there. There's other networks that you can add in television, but the big ones are Amazon On Demand and Netflix. So if I want to watch a movie, I go to Netflix. If they don't have it, I can rent it on Amazon On Demand for $2.99 or whatever it is. Or on Netflix also has a lot of television shows, documentaries, PBS special, things that have been published, produced through either PBS or British television.
Right.
There's huge amounts of content.
Or you can go to other things like Blueberry.
Yeah.
And Blip and Revision 3.
Watch the Handy Guys on Blueberry.
Right. So Blueberry is a lot of content creators like the Handy Guys, right?
Yep.
So you can go on to Blueberry and you can find Handy Guys there, and you can find Wood Whisperer there. You can find, you know, all our online friends are there that have content produced like we do, Handy Guys, audio shows or video shows.
Okay, so right now through broadcast television, I can watch pretty much everything I want to. I record it with either my Myth TV or I watch through my Roku, but there is one downside to all this online stuff. There's something that's not available.
What is that?
If you're a sports fan, there's just no sports.
Comcast Sports Network.
Well, not just that, but even if the sports like the NFL on Sundays, they don't put those shows on Hulu. If they're on one of these networks, like Fox has football, but they don't put that on Hulu. They only put their their weekly episodes of whatever.
I mean, you know, if you have that rooftop antenna and you're getting your signal that way, you're going to get your local market stuff that's
you can get,
on the network. You know,
well, you can still get the big weekly games that are on NBC or Fox, the NFL and others, but most local sports are on, you know, whatever. You have different sports providers. Here it's Comcast Sports, and other places it may be whatever their local New England Sports Network or whatever. And then the other problem is ESPN. They're doing more and more sports, so you can't get those. ESPN, I don't think, is making their stuff available for streaming. So you're kind of cut out there. I've kind of had to bite the bullet because I've given up some of those local sports, and I just watch them when they're, you know, like my Phillies is on. They're always on broadcast television on Sunday afternoons and on, you know, in the playoffs, other than the first divisional series where they were on TBS. But after that, they're all going to be on broadcast TV. So
sure,
I'll be good to go. But that's the big killer.
You know, all of these changes,
it's going to go eventually, though. It's going to be available.
It's going to have to. And, you know, all of these changes that I've made, you know, a couple $100 a month in my pocket, you know?
Yep.
And
so you can do it. And you may have to, you're going to have to make some sacrifices, but there are ways to just cut down these bills. You're not paying $200. So here's my entertainment bill a month. I have my cable bill, which is roughly $60, but most of that is the internet. It's like $35 for internet. I wish we could find a way to get that cut. So I'm paying like, say, $15 to $20. We'll call it $20 for basic analog, basic cable. Just the basic.
You have some digital to get the HD.
Yeah, they give you that, but they don't tell you. But I get, you know, all the channels. I guess they call it like the basic of basics. You know, it's like the broadcast channels and a couple more in the package. So that's $20. Then I have my subscription to Netflix, which is $10. So I'm paying $30 a month, and I can get almost any movie I want. Most, if it's not available to stream it, I can have them deliver the DVD in the mail for no extra expense. I can watch almost any movie I want on demand. I'm good to go. I can get movies. I can get television. I can't get a few sports. And Netflix, I bought the Roku box. That was about $100.
Yeah,
that was about at least a year ago. So that's paid for itself. And my phone, $15 a month. So we add those. What are we up to? 20, 30. What are we at? 30 plus my phone, 45. So for phone and entertainment, I'm at $45 a month. Not bad.
Not bad. So for me, my let's see. So we're not counting internet in that. So I've got we'll call it, you know, the broadcast. TV, right? That's free. So I'm not, for my channels, I'm not paying anything. I'm paying my $8 a month to Netflix.
Yep.
I'm paying $3.27 for my phone. Okay.
Right.
So I'm at 12, we'll call it $13.
Yep.
And I'm done with the satellite.
You're just doing that's broadcast
and
antenna. You got to buy an antenna, but we'll just count our monthly costs here.
Right. What else is there?
So let's put this on our website. We should post what we're paying on phone and TV, total costs, and we'll mention how robust what we actually get, which is a lot. considering, especially with Netflix, it's unbelievable what you, you actually have access to. I mean, if you really like to watch movies, you can make, you can do, you know, you're not getting all those rental fees or anything. And we should see, ask people to respond and, you know, see how others are doing on their, I know college students these days, and we haven't counted the cell phones, so obviously you have that, but college students these days are no longer going to be buying all this cable and all this other stuff. They're going to be so used to streaming.
Did you have cable at TV in college?
No.
No.
But we, that was the big deal though, was when you could arrive and finally get cable TV. Well, now college kids are used to streaming. Why would they bother? They, just like they're not buying landlines, they're not going to be buying cable TV.
Right.
They're going to want their TV delivered when they want it over the internet.
Right.
So that's what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, if, you know, if it was possible to cut the cord and be only cell phone back when I first got my landline, I would have done that, you know,
exactly.
It's like starting over again. But the technology wasn't quite there yet. You kind of needed to have that home phone.
If my cable company would let me just get the data for $35 a month, I would do that. But they have, you know, they forced me to buy the basic.
Well, eventually Verizon is going to come through and dig up your neighborhood and put the fiber in the street.
They're not much any cheaper though.
No, I think my data plan is $45 a month.
They got to pay for that $2 billion investment or whatever they're making in Fios. So,
right.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Hopefully, we provided some maybe help for some handy guys out there that don't know much about this stuff. Feel free to email us if you have any questions. We'd be happy to help you
out.
Hold on.
Don't email us technical questions on setting up Myth TV.
Yeah, that's a good point. We don't want those questions. There's tons of stuff out there on that. But if you have basic questions about, well, you know, what we recommend for voiceover IP, or what is it, or how do you hook it up in your house, we can talk to you about that. Or some other questions about broadcast TV, we can give you some links about where to find if you're going to be able to get a reception. There's some websites out there. What is it, like Antenna Web or something like that? Tells you what reception you'll get if you actually, and what antenna you would need if you want to go off the grid. So there you have it. Maybe we've provided some help for some untechnical people out there somewhere. Who knows?
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.